You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
When I worked in the world in my regular vocation, it brought me a great deal of joy because I was able to go into a ripped-up house, a demolished kitchen, a hole in the ground in some cases, and leave it better than I found it. At no time did the material that I worked with ever tell me what it was going to do. The blueprints call for 2x4, 2x6, 2x8, 2x12 construction. You walk over and pick up what you need. The other wood never said, don't take that, take me. Because they were completely in the hands of the craftsman. Then God calls you into ministry, and then he takes over and directs us where we should go. He does something with us that he does not do with lumber. He gives us freedom of choice, not free will. Free will is an entirely different concept that Pentecostals don't understand. We use the term free will erroneously. Your will becomes a slave to your choices. The moment you make a choice to rob the bank or drink the liquor or excel in some area of academic study or in business, the moment you make the choice, your will now is confined to that area. So your will really is not free. It is a casualty of your choice. So the greatest gift that God gave is the ability to choose. Now, God is so secure, that he gave the ability to choose even to the angels. And while angels are neither male nor female, and angels have no soul, they don't need to be saved, but they can be punished because of their choices. And the Bible says that Satan was so charismatic that he was able to convince one-third of the holy angels to make a bad choice. In the Word of God, Paul writes to us in Romans, the 12th chapter, he says that you and I that are believers must not allow our choices to be framed by cultural connections. The King James says it, sort of in a more poetic way. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you first submit your body. And he says, this is a logical sacrifice. And then he says, we're to undergo the transformation of our thinking process. Your greatest struggle as a Christian is the renewing of your mind. It is not the extrication of a devil. That is not as significant as your mind being renewed. Our bondage is secured by dark thinking, which leads to poor choices. Last week, by the grace of God, we began a series that's going to take us some time. And the gist of it comes out of Mark chapter 4, where Jesus says, let's pass over to the other side. And what we are ultimately hoping you will gather from this teaching is the need to move. That your life becomes dull without reproduction when you stay where you are. There is a positional staying that is essential. Stay married. Don't take this series as the permission to go home and say, look, I gotta move, it's time to move. No, you stay married. Now, the second stay, you're going to probably laugh about it because we don't understand the dynamic of it, again, based on our culture. But I need you to listen to the word. You should stay childlike, not childish. Childlike means forgiving, joyful, that you maintain an attitude of upliftedness, and you seek connectivity. Adults have the unwillingness to connect, and that's why so many of you feel isolated even in Bethel. You come to service, and you leave. You come in just at the right time so you don't have to talk to anyone. And then you leave just at the right time so you don't have to talk to anyone. But let me explain. There's no devil to bind. 90% of those individuals do so because they don't have wholesome relationships outside of church. Remember, church is a mirror of your upbringing. You will be in here what you've been trained and taught to be. And the lack of it will also come out, but we'll go into that. And so here's what God does. I need you to go to Ephesians chapter 4 first, and we're coming back to Mark chapter 4. But I need you to go there because today what I'd like to do, I'd like to begin by reshaping my job description. I want Bethel to be among the first churches in the economy of God to see their pastor for what God made him to be more than what you think you need him to be. Now, again, this requires a cultural shift. We have brought with us the mental bondage of slavery. Now, the history that we have in slavery is that once a week, the slave masters would allow the evangelists to come and bandy around like a rooster. He was the only one that was allowed to dress in goodly clothes. He was the only one that was allowed to come in and then leave the plantation so that they may go to another plantation to preach to the slaves. And they would take the word of God and extract passages that would support the slave master's position. So as long as the preacher would preach those things that kept people compliant and connected to the will of the master, then they allowed them to come in. These exposures, if you will, were handed down by our past relatives. Because we were largely agricultural people, we were largely manual laborers. We were not afforded the opportunity to dress up Monday through Friday. So Sunday became a reflection of that mindset. And church became a forum for individual style embellishment. In other words, I'm going to come to church and show you what I have. I don't wear this stuff any other day during the week. Just Sunday. And the goal was to make you look at me and believe I was successful. There was no more of a mindset of coming together to worship God or to connect. It became an individualized study. And so the precept, the principle, the mind of God, which was to create two things. Look in, I know I didn't read Ephesians yet, but we got time. If I don't get it all done today, there's always tomorrow. Go over to the book of 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Now, it does seem to have a little redundancy, but here's what he's saying. The body of Christ is one body, and it possesses many members. Now, he uses this as a metaphor and connecting that metaphor with a visual of our body. Our body, this body that you see standing before you, has 13 systems, neurological, skeletal, muscular, reproductive. It has 13 systems in one body. This one body that you see before you has fingers and toes. It has joints. It has 205 bones that started out as 212 that fuse together as you get older so they can be stronger. Children, that's why infants and little children are extremely pliable because they have all the bones. But as you get older, they need to be stronger and not as many. So some fuse together. So you wind up with 205. This body that you see, if you took every vein, capillary, artery out and laid it across in a measuring position, it comes to 60,000 miles of veins, arteries, and capillaries in one body. My large intestine is 32 feet long. 32 feet. Each one of these ceiling tiles are 2 feet wide by 4 feet long. Just do the math. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 ceiling tile at 2 feet wide would be 24, and then add another till you get 32. You stretch out your intestine across 32 feet of that ceiling. And God compacted it. Now, every now and then, you hear it. And you used to say that was because you were hungry. That's just somebody's trick to get you to eat. Those so-called bowel sounds are healthy sounds that state that your intestines are doing what God intended them to do by grinding up what you've already eaten. If you don't hear those sounds, you're in trouble. Because you have some scar tissue that's holding on to them things, and you're going to wind up going under the knife. Thank God every time it groans. Don't you bow your head and say, excuse me, when your stomach starts growling. You get up and say, thank you, Jesus. And anybody else that knows will say, bless him, child. Your brain weighs close to 7 pounds, but it burns 20% of the energy in your body. It is split into two hemispheres, but 4 sections. And each one governs certain parts of your body. Now, I'm not going to keep going, but it was important for me to know all of this in my study. Because we learned that many of your emotional issues are tied into mistreatment of your body. That people come down and say, oh, the devil's keeping me from sleeping, and really what you just have is a lack of melatonin that God gives you that releases when night comes. That's why habitually you used to get sleepy at nighttime, because somewhere in your brain, God has put this signal that says when that happens, your body starts releasing melatonin. and serotonin so that you can start getting sleepy, and you fight it so you can stay up and be a night owl. Now medical science is proving that you night owls live less than the daytime people, the early risers and the early going to bedders will live longer than you night owls because you're violating God's principles. In fact, it is discovered scientifically that people who suffer from type 2 diabetes can regulate their blood glucose if they get an average of 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. And without it, and then here's what happens. You get up in the morning and you take a morning blood glucose reading. It is erroneous to do that. Your blood glucose is going to be higher when you first get up in the morning because your liver is really where all this stuff comes from. And an unhealthy liver doesn't regulate well in the morning. Now, the people who make your metformin know that, but they don't want you to know that. So they say, take that blood glucose reading first thing in the morning, and it's going to be higher. But if you wait a couple of hours, not to eat, but a couple of hours to wash your face, get yourself together, sing a couple praise songs, then take it and watch it'll be lower. Now understand what I'm saying. The mystery of the body is in its unity. Not one part of this body works by itself. It is all connected to other parts. The muscular system makes everything work. You understand? Without my muscular system, I couldn't button the buttons of my jacket. That's called fine muscle movement. Because you really have to work to button them. That's why when you have arthritis developing, it hurts to button. Because it has nothing to do with the muscular system. It's the skeletal system that's influenced. But let me go on now. See, you'll get it as we move forward. Now, Paul says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being member are one body, so also is Christ. See there? So also is Christ, one body with many members. The person sitting next to you, if they are born again, are members of the body of Christ. Listen carefully. You might say, well, what if they're demon inspired? Well, what if you have a cold? If you have bronchital pneumonia, you don't rip out your bronchial cords, your bronchial tubes, you minister to them to get them well. If you have congestion in your chest, you take some lime juice and some honey, you know, depending upon your upbringing. Anybody from the South knows what to do when you get congestion. You see, Northerners don't know what to do. And the further south you go, the stronger the additive. If you're from the Caribbean, you take the lime juice, the honey, and you add a little rum. You figure I'll repent after I breathe better. God ain't gonna kill you for that. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, just because there is an ailment in the body doesn't mean you killed the body. Therefore, if we are all members of the body and somebody is caught up in an offense, we don't kill them, but Paul says we restore them because they're part of the body and all they just have the flu. Now, when I was a child, I had chicken pox. I think everybody, you know, you had measles, chicken pox, whooping cough, parents. You had all the bad things that affected you. Okay, brothers and sisters, all the sicknesses of life. And so I had chicken pox. All right, now, about 5 years ago, I was in Disney World, and I got these real bad pains in my on my hip, and it hurt me so bad. And I was in line waiting to go into an exhibit, and I kept twisting and turning, and that thing hurt me so bad, but it was only in like a 6-inch diameter right there on my left hip, and it was hurting so bad. And Sister Sheila, she was, you know, when we got back to our place, she was putting calamine lotion on it, and it wouldn't go away, and it wouldn't go away. And I was like, I'm in Disney World. This isn't supposed to happen. You know, this is the happy place. You don't get sick here. And so God was gracious. I got through it and got back home, went to the dermatologist. He said, oh, Mr. Lambert, you got shingles. I said, what the heck are shingles? He said, you have chicken pox as a child? I said, yeah. He said, and the virus is still in you. I said, I thought that stuff was over. It was a childhood disease. He said, well, now it's an adult infliction. I said, oh, my goodness, this is ridiculous. He says, okay, so now that you've gone through it, he said, you should be okay. Well, I finished up my physicals last week. Everything's great. And the doctor says, did you ever have chickenpox? I says, yes, I did. She said, did you get the shingles vaccine? I said, for what? I already had the chickenpox and I already had the shingles. I said, it's been there and done that. She says, listen. She said, that particular virus lodges in the spine. And if it wants to, it can start up again. She said, now that you've had it, you have a 37% chance of getting it again. However, if you get the vaccine, then your chances for not having it will go all the way up to 97%. Having went through that pain, I said, give me the vaccine. She said, it's in two phases. You get one now and then another one in 2 to 5 months. I said, give me the vaccine. So the nurse came in and she pops it in my arm. I said, what are the side effects? She said, you can get a fever. You know, you can get this, that, and the other. And she's going down all these side effects, and I weighed one against the other. I said, well, what do I do if I get a fever? She said, come back here. I said, well, you're the one that gave me the fever. I said, but give it to me anyway. Why? Because an ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure. Here's what I'm saying. Most of the things that we encounter in the body of Christ amongst each other can be handled if we would act more in a preventative way.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go Into My Blessing, or the program number 06519A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Join your Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches family as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ at BDIFC Holy Convocation 2019, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd and Sunday, August 25th. Each night we'll be blessed with a word from God brought forth by powerful ministers of the gospel. Special guest speakers for our Holy Convocation are Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church on Wednesday, August 21st, Bishop Paul S. Morton of Changing a Generation FGBC on Thursday, August 22nd, and Pastor Paul Shepherd of Destiny Christian Fellowship on Friday, August 23rd. Each service will be held at the Hilton Philadelphia City Ave at 7 p.m. nightly. The address is 4200 City Ave, Philadelphia, PA 19131. Sunday, August 25th will be our official night, in which the presiding bishop of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., will deliver an impactful message from the Lord. The service begins at 6 p.m. in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheldon Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. It's the BDIFC Holy Convocation, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd, and Sunday, August 25th. Come out and join your church family for these empowering nights of praise, healing, and fellowship.